Good morning. So maybe we can turn to Exodus chapter 40, the last chapter of the book of Exodus. We've come a long ways. And I have a few goals for this message as I unhooked the screen here. Few goals for this message. One is I want this to be a timely message. Poor Rocky last week dealt with the clock debacle of 2020, as if there weren't enough occurrences this year already. I'll try to be timely, and I want to be very practical. You know, there's a lot in that we've gone through in Exodus that. Concerning the laws and the tabernacle and things that are difficult to understand, yet the Lord wants us to study those things, but I want to be very practical as well. And I also want it to have some focus on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And finally, I want it to be uplifting. I hope this is a positive message with everything else going on around us right now. Everything okay, Merwin?
The audio's not working. Just check on.
So with that said, I want you all to be thinking about projects. What projects have been going on for you during COVID? To me, it's been a period of projects going on. And I think about right at the beginning, back in March, April, Chandra and I went to stop in at Lowe's, and we had to turn around because the parking lot was just packed. People were doing a lot of projects all of a sudden. And I don't know if it's outdoor yard projects that were going on or indoor renovations or people building their offices at home or what. But lots of projects. And I think about kids at home doing schoolwork and such. There's probably been teachers assigning lots of projects when they're not on Zoom that they're supposed to be accomplishing. I was also thinking about Dave Olmsted, who does a lot of projects with his work, Moon Construction. And I know they do a lot of their kind of commercial projects are with schools. And it's probably a good time to be working on a school with no kids around. The deacons, too, have been taking advantage of this time and working on projects here at the chapel and done amazing work there that we're very grateful for. But just thinking about projects, and the tabernacle was one grand project that took about a year for it to be done. And I want to be thinking about the phases of these projects. We've already covered several phases, and I'm kind of going to give a little bit of a summary of those phases and then get into this last chapter of Exodus. So there's a verse in Luke 14:28 that says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So we think about our relationship with the Lord Jesus and how the Lord Jesus here called people to count the cost of commitment to him. They were to sit down, take time, and weigh the cost of that. And I don't think the Lord Jesus was trying to drive people away from making that decision to follow him, but he was trying to ignite them and excite them about this lifelong commitment, this project of a life built up in Christ. And so it's important with a project to sit down and count the cost. And it's also important to have, in our life, to have Jesus as the foreman of the project of our lives. We think about a foreman as somebody that's on the job site, kind of running the operations, that's in charge. And I hope that each one of you has made that decision, has sat down and counted the cost, and trusted the Lord as your Savior, as the foreman of your life. That's the first and the most important project of a life built up in him. And then we think about these phases of construction with the tabernacle. And I think we can kind of draw some similarities with the tabernacle between not just our lives, but also with respect to the church and the building of the church. We've already seen some things there in the study with the local church and the church worldwide. But also can think about it in terms of our ministries and various aspects of our lives. And so one aspect that we've kind of covered is the planning and the permitting. We think about Moses, he went up on the mount for 40 days and he received instructions of the Lord. Not only did the Lord give him instructions, but he also gave him the authorization to do these things. He got the permit, so to speak. But maybe you have designed your own home before. I haven't had the luxury of designing what goes into our house. We just bought a house that had been previously owned. But Chandra and I often talk about what we would build into a house if we were able to design it. I know one thing she would like is a bigger pantry. So maybe one day. But here that we've covered so far, there were six chapters in the book of Exodus that were discussing very specific plans. And think about how Moses was able to take down all those details and all those plans that were given to him and were able to be obedient to those plans. I think about Dave O working with a school district or whoever else he might work with. He's got to be a good listener. And I bet you David is a very good listener, taking down lots of details about the plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." So it's important to be a planner and to plan well. And also, no matter what, we need to seek the Lord in the things that we're doing, in the projects that we're doing within the church and within our own lives. We need to commit our way to the Lord and get his blessing and his approval on the steps that we're taking. And surely that way, he will direct our steps. And then we think about the funding. We've actually heard quite a bit about the funding of a project. And we heard from Steve some interesting things about how the Lord provided all these resources to the Israelites to be able to build the tabernacle. And we think about with the church, how we're given gifts from the Lord. At the time of conversion, the Lord gives us gifts to use for the building up of the body of Christ. These gifts are not for ourselves. They're to bless the church. And Rocky 2 spoke quite a bit about the free will offerings that were given by these people. They had counted the cost and were willing to spend were willing to spend their resources for this grand project. So another phase of construction is funding. And I think that's really the time where you make another level of commitment. Not only, you know, have you decided to do this in your mind, in your heart, but you're actually taking this step that you're gonna fund it. And you can fund with money, but you can fund projects with your talents and your time. Those are all things that you can give to a project for God. I want to get to another phase. I'm calling the prefabrication phase of construction. Now, prefabrication sounds like a modern term, and I think it probably is, but it's the idea of building things in sections to be put together later on the job site. And I think about Boeing, they have this huge plane, I think it's called the Dreamlifter or something like that, that hauls these engines around. You know, the engines are made somewhere else and then brought in to go on planes, or, you know, all kinds of components that go into a Boeing airplane that are made off-site and then constructed into an airplane. And so there's this prefabrication work that's going on. And I know, you know, we keep reading and hearing about these things that were made in the tabernacle, and it sounds redundant to us, but they're actually different phases. One time it's talking about the design of all these things in Exodus, and another time it's, you know, talking about actually building these items and the construction of them, and who did that labor and the craftsmanship and all these things. And another time it might be the Lord's commands as to when to do something, and another time it's actually, you know, putting it all together, which we're going to get to. And so there's this prefabrication step. And I think about at home, I've done some things around the house that I received that were prefabricated items. Like I had a shed, I built a shed outside. I didn't really build it all. I just got these parts that had been prefabricated that I put a few things together, and it was a shed. And it was, everything was cut to the right length and everything, so it worked out great. And that's really what was going on with the tabernacle. It was being prefabricated. And I think about sometimes when we as saints, we have a project and we're doing prefabrication work, you know, we don't necessarily see the end result in the short term. And, you know, people that are building parts for Boeing planes, they may not see the exact plane that their parts go into or see how it all works together. And I think that was probably true of the tabernacle. I mean, how many people got to see the Holy of Holies with all the aspects to it, with the fabrics and everything together, and all the work that they had done? And I think that's part of a life of faith, is doing these things for the Lord and not necessarily seeing the end result in this life, but trusting that the Lord is bringing about these things. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And we may not see all those phases, but we should still be impassioned about the phase that the Lord's given to us and the projects that the Lord has given to us. And then we get to today's last chapter, chapter 40. Well, what phases does that cover? One of those phases, I think, is the framing of the tabernacle. It's finally time to frame up the tabernacle and get the bones of the structure going. And then there's the furnishing of the tabernacle. And then finally, like a home, you know, the final step is actually indwelling the tabernacle. And so we'll see that. And so if you turn to, if you are not already there, Exodus 40, and we'll start reading there. Exodus 41 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall put in it the ark of the testimony and partition off the ark with the veil. And you shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it, And you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And you shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. You shall set up the court all around, and hang up the screen at the court gate. So here we are, Exodus 40, verse 8, and if we can go through verse 15, and still the tabernacle has not actually been set up. It's all about the various phases that come before, and now here's the command of what Moses is to do. And note the timing in this passage. It says, on the first day of the first month, on the first day of the first month, well, the calendar had only been set by God 1 year earlier. 1 year to the day earlier, the Lord had instituted the calendar, and the Passover was to be the 14th of the month. So here it was, the first anniversary of Israel, of their calendar, and the Lord's doing something else big. We see in Exodus 12:1, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.'" And we just think about, you know, here it was, the anniversary. You know, dates matter to the Lord. You know, the days of the year matter to the Lord. We think about this month of Nisan was the month. It's the same month that was the Passover and that Jesus died on the cross. And how we look back to the anniversary event there, and we remember that every week, what the Lord Jesus has done, and how significant that date in history is, that the Lord paid the price for our sins. So we see that dates matter to God. You know, Jesus died on the Passover feast. He fulfilled the Passover. And during that time, too, was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Jesus rose again on the Feast of First Fruits, another anniversary. And the Holy Spirit was given at the Feast of Pentecost. Dates matter to God. And just thinking, we're about a month away from New Year's. You know, you think about what Moses was doing on New Year's, putting the tabernacle together. That's a pretty neat project to do right at the beginning of the year. And I hope that's an encouragement to each of us to have a mind towards, you know, making 2021, you know, a year that we do big things for the Lord, and to set our minds to these ministries. There's been lots of ideas I've heard about, you know, people wanting to do vacation Bible school here with Northgate. I've heard of something, somebody mentioned a Happy Hamburger Day, you know, kind of a ministry and outreach day where we have a barbecue and share the gospel. And I think about the gospel work that's going on around, and just encourage that to continue, and what a great work that is, and I'm sure the Lord is very pleased with that. I've also heard, you know, Titan Drive is interested maybe in having a youth conference sometime. So anyway, I just want to encourage each of you to think about what your ministries are and press forward in those. That's where I want to get into the next phase, which is the framing phase I mentioned. Now, the command was in verse 2, to set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And in verse 18, it says, "So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put in its bars, and raised up its pillars. And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent on top of it, as the Lord had commanded Moses." I was thinking about this process of framing. So here was, they'd been building, maybe it was 9 months that they were actually working on the tabernacle, because it took some time from that first anniversary we were talking about to get to Sinai and for Moses to get be on the mount for 40 days and such. So maybe a 9-month span here. And here they were constructing it this day and putting the frame up. And was anything missing from this tabernacle that they didn't have all together? Did everything fit well together that Moses did? And I believe it did. I believe it went together perfectly. I think about some of these kits and things I've gotten that were prefabricated and how they've had missing parts and pieces sometimes, or sometimes two or three of something you only need one of. But and also a term in construction is measure twice, cut once. If you kind of cut something incorrectly, if you cut a board too short, it's a waste of material. Possibly very expensive material. So it's important to get right the first time. But I believe the Lord blessed this framing. And I think it's important to seek the Lord's blessing in the projects and the things that we're going about doing for Him and His glory. And again, we think about these instructions that Moses had received. He seemed to follow them very specifically. He took time and those details to follow each and every step that the Lord had for him. And here we have the Bible, and it shares with us so much about the church and about what the church should look like, about what assembly worship should be like. I know we have restrictions this morning, and we've had restrictions this year. Some have come and gone, thankfully. But some of these things are pretty simple to abide by. Remember me. That's a simple one. Break bread. Fellowship. Teach. Pray. You think about the symbols that we are to use. Bread. Wine. Head covering. Sharing the gospel that the Lord impresses upon us. An assembly is to be a sharer of the good news, and for each of us to use the spiritual gifts that are given. And we think about the church universal, I think Rocky did a pretty good job explaining some things about that last week. Ephesians 2, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So what are you building up in your life? What has the Lord laid on you to set your shoulder to? He says in his word, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We also have this strong encouragement in Ephesians 1:6 that says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I was born in Canada and lived there till I was 4 years old. And my dad was a builder up there. He built houses. And he worked with his best friend up there, and they built houses together. And I was just thinking, what an encouragement to be in business with a friend. When we think about, we have the Lord Jesus with us. He is our friend in this project of life, in building up our faith, in our work and helping out with the church and the ministries that he has us to do in these trials that we face today. He's with us, and we have this helper, this comforter with us in these projects of life. So whatever you're working on, follow the plans. Follow the plans. And I was thinking about the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4:11. Bible says, let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. And what a neat project that was for the Shunammite woman and her husband. And she was obviously inspired to do that for Elisha and had that ministry that they did, doing a project together and furnishing that room for Elisha. And ultimately, a demonstration of her faith and her love to do things for the Lord. So that brings us to the next phase, which is the furnishing phase. You think about the furnishing of the tabernacle and the furniture that was in it. You know, there was a special seat, the mercy seat, that God would sit on. There was a lamp for lighting the tabernacle. Think about that lampstand. And that picture it is of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. But there was a lamp, kind of like they're in a home. You want to get some lighting in there. We got some rooms in our house. We need to work on that, I think I'm tasked with. But lighting's important. And there was a table with food on it. There was the table of showbread. And there was a sink. There was the laver where the priests were to wash their hands. And there was the altar that reminds me of a stove. And like I was thinking about this morning was that the priests would eat from those offerings and receive their nourishment from the supplies, and how we get to continue to nourish and feast on thoughts of the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 24:3 says, "Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." And so, you know, I think the Lord understands our desire to make our homes a comfortable place, a place that's inviting and welcoming, a place that we can have hospitality and demonstrate kindness for others. And yet, you know, if you think about those furnishings, what's important in a furnishing of a house, or what's important to you in your house? And I was thinking about if Chandra and I had our house caught on fire, we had a fire, what would be the things that we would want to get out of there first? And clear to us, our children would be number one. We want to get our kids out and make sure they're safe. And, you know, photos too. Hopefully some are digital and backed up and in the cloud somewhere. But we got some older photos, and I know that would be important to get out, those memories of our kids when they were younger and such. And then anything else that was precious. And I was thinking about that concerning the tabernacle and the things that were precious to Jehovah. What was important to him concerning his house? And those were all the things that were pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things are important to him. And that's why this study has been important, because it's brought out thoughts the Lord has concerning his son. And you think about I think Rocky had a big list of them, the blue, and that speaks of, you know, the heavenly nature of the Lord Jesus, and the scarlet and things that picture the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And think about that lampstand. It was a beaten work of gold. And we think about the beatings that the Lord Jesus took, that suffering that he bore for us. And we think about the mercy of the Lord Jesus and that mercy seat that he sat on, that law that he protects us from, that's within, that would judge us and put us to death. He is between that and has stood between that. And that blood is applied to that mercy seat. So we are grateful for that. it was surprising to me here, this tabernacle, you know, being designed, fabricated, everything for 9 months, as mentioned, but here it would be built, it would be framed together and put together in one day, on that first day of that month. And here, the whole book of Exodus was, from the time of the Exodus out of Egypt until the end of the book of Exodus, that's just 1 year of the 40 years of Israel wandering in the wilderness. And you think, what kind of year do you want this year and next year to be? Do you want it to be a productive year like this 1 year that the Israelites had? Or would you rather have it be like the 39 where there's not much to record about what they did for the Lord? And we see, if we look at starting in verse 16, that we see that Moses is the sole actor in this chapter. It's amazing to read, and I will just read some of it and just see how his name is emphasized here. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month of the first year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put in its bars, and raised up its pillars. And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and partitioned off the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tabernacle of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil. And he set up the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across from the table on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil. And he burned sweet incense on it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting on the altar, and put water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it. Whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. So Moses finished the work. I'm just thinking about Moses, you know, we often think about, you know, Aaron, the priest and high priest and his sons, but Moses, too, was of the tribe of Levi. He, too, was a priest. In fact, he takes on this picture of the Lord Jesus in being the prophet, priest, king. He's kind of all three in that leadership role. And he does all these things in the tabernacle, kind of inaugurating the tabernacle. And I think afterwards, Aaron and his sons would do more of it, but it says he finished the work and he did all these things. It's very interesting to ponder upon. And when it says Moses finished the work, what does that make you think of? It makes me think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who finished the work for us. John 17:4 says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And then on the cross, he says, it is finished. It's the Lord Jesus that did the work for us. Finally, we get to the next phase, which is the indwelling. In verse 34, it says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and the fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And so it says, then the cloud covered, in verse 34, then. What happened before the then? Well, we just read, Moses finished the work. And we think about, you know, that what an event that must have been when the Lord indwelt the tabernacle. But there's a parallel there to what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. And when he finished his work, it was at that time, a few days later, that the Holy Spirit was given and came and indwelt the believers as it came into that house. The believers were indwelt of God. And isn't that the primary purpose of it all? That the Lord wants to dwell with us, and he wants us to dwell with him. So what an encouragement that is to us. He wants anybody and everybody who's willing to come to him by faith and dwell with him. And so that should be an encouragement to us in our projects to do everything to encourage others to come to him and to take up that opportunity to dwell with the Lord. Because the alternative of not dwelling with the Lord is unthinkable. To be separated from God for all eternity. And so many are separated now and may not have heard the gospel that there is an opportunity, that there is good news to dwell with him. And so think about this book of Exodus and how it started off with the Israelites being in bondage and suffering, and then that Passover time where they were set free from that bondage and were able to go and became a nation. And here the book of Exodus concludes with the Lord dwelling in their midst in the tabernacle. And that's a story that I hope is true of each one of your lives, that you've come to God by faith and he's come to reside within your heart. So don't miss out on that opportunity. And in closing, just want to think about some parallels between Moses and the Lord Jesus. I've already talked about some of those. And in Deuteronomy 18:15, it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And just thinking about some of the parallels between with Christmas coming up, I mean, there's so many parallels. There's probably 75 to 100 different things you could come up with. But just some of the things concerning the birth and the early life of Moses and the Lord Jesus. You know, they were both Israelites, but they were both born under foreign government. We see Moses under Egyptian rule and the Lord under a Roman rule in Israel. And they were both so important to God. In Acts 7:20, we read, "At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. Even as a child, the Lord had a great purpose for him." We see that Moses was endangered by the Pharaoh. And we see that the Lord Jesus was endangered by Herod. We see that they were both adopted. Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and Jesus was adopted by Joseph. We see that they both spent some of their childhood in Egypt. Of course, Moses was born there, but the Lord Jesus and his family fled Herod and went down into Egypt. And they both had early knowledge of their mission for God. Acts 7:25 says, Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. And so we see, as we come into this Christmas season, we're just wrapping up Exodus here, and just starting to think about the Lord Jesus and his birth, and what an amazing thing that the Lord worked out for us in bringing the Savior into this world. In John 1:14, a verse that Rocky had shared, but I'd like to share it again, says, "And the Word became flesh and did tabernacle among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of an only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's give thanks for this time and for the one who tabernacled among us. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for this book of Exodus and all the pictures, all the examples that you give to us about life, about the great projects that you have, Lord, as the foreman of our lives, as the foreman of Israel. You have a plan for Israel and still have a plan for Israel. And right now, Father, you are building your church, and we are so grateful for that. We're so grateful for providing your son, that cornerstone that was needed as that foundation. And just pray for each one in the assembly, even during these restrictive times, that we would be excited and impassioned about projects for you, projects to build up the body of Christ, and to encourage one another, and to love and care for each other. We just give thanks for not just the example of Moses, but the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did so much for us, who cared so much for so many, even on the cross, thinking about other people. And we just give thanks for him and for this time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.